It's cool because we're kicking off a brand new series this morning called Summer Playlist. Summer Playlist. And every year at Red Chapel, we've always taken the summertime to kind of go through one book of the Bible to really dive in and study a book of the Bible. And this year is no different. And this year we chose the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And so I'm excited about this. How many of you have ever had a song get stuck in your head? Nobody's ever had it. Okay, some of you had a song that just, it may not even be a song that you liked, but you just heard it so much that it's just constantly replaying over, and it's like one of those songs you just can't get out of your head. Like you're washing the car, and you hear this song. You're at work, you hear this song. You're in the shower, those of you that like to sing in the shower, because no one else wants you to sing anywhere else. And so you just one of those, it's over and over, and the next thing you know, it's kind of like, it's become a part of who you are. One of the things I know about songs is there's power in a song. In fact, Jesus even, we see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus would often reference songs. And these were from the book of Psalms. So what you got to know about the book of Psalms, if you grew up in church, we used to have what we called hymnals. And basically all the songs, instead of being up on a digital screen like this, you'd have songs that were, it's a hymnal book. I remember the hymnal book that we had, I think it was 300 something pages. And growing up in church, one of the competitions we had as kids is who could memorize the most songs in the songbook. Like you knew what page they were, every word of the song. Well, the book of Psalms was kind of like the hymnal book for the children of Israel. These were songs that they constantly sang. In fact, even Jesus himself would constantly sing, thinking, and speaking these songs. In fact, they kind of like became his go-to whenever he was in a precarious situation or found himself dealing with something in life. He oftentimes referenced the Psalms because songs are, they're powerful. And I think for each of us, the truth is there are some things that we need to have on repeat in our lives. Like we need to carefully curate our life's playlist so that we're intaking what we should and we're avoiding what we shouldn't, because there's so much value in what we repeat and what we replay in our lives. Because the truth is, those things slowly become a part of us. Think about who you hang around, the voices that you constantly listen to. These are the songs, okay, that become a part of who you are. So we're diving into this first week of this new series, Summer Playlist, and we're going to take a look at several different psalms, thinking about how these songs can affect our lives if we constantly play them on repeat, on replay. If they're constantly on replay in our life, it reminds me of that song by Inez, Replay. Some of you, if you're a little older, you remember that song? Shawty, like a melody in my head. You remember that? Got me singing like na-na-na-na every day, like my iPhone stuck on replay, replay, replay. You remember that? Come on, some of you old school G's, you got to know this stuff. Remember the first time we met? You know what I'm saying? You're at the mall with your friend. Anyways, I'm not going to sing for you this morning, but it just reminded me, there's some things that are just on replay over and over and over. So this is what I want to talk to you about. I think this is a great way to remember what I'm going to say to you this morning. I put together this sticky statement that I hope will stick with you. And it's simply this: replay the song that you want to sing. Replay the song that you want to sing. Think about all the annoying songs in the past that you've had on your mind that are constantly. I remember Megan was in one of her first plays. She loves acting. And one of her first plays was the play called Annie. Have you ever seen Annie? They revised the movie a few years ago. One of her first acting things was the play called Annie. And so as she was rehearsing and preparing, there's a song in Annie, it's kind of like a theme song, it's called It's a Hard Knock Life. It's a hard knock life for us, right? And Megan had this on replay all the time. Like, I got tired of hearing It's a Hard Knock Life, because I would find myself, even when it wasn't playing, I would find myself singing It's a Hard Knock Life. And I hate this song. I got tired of it. I was annoyed by it, but because it played so many times, whether we was driving together, we're at home together, I find myself, even when it's not playing, I just found myself singing the songs. The truth is I probably sing way too many songs that I have no interest in singing, because the reality is what I constantly take in, whether that's consciously or subconsciously, will be the thing that becomes a part of me. In fact, the things that I take in will ultimately become what I put out. And so this very first psalm that we're going to talk about today, we're actually going to take the very first psalm. It's Psalms chapter 1. And I feel like this psalm, it's this song, it's the scripture, and it kind of gives us this exact concept that what you're constantly taking in ultimately becomes a part of you. It only becomes a part of your outtake. And it goes like this. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. They delight in the law of the Lord. They're meditating on it day and night. They're like trees that are planted along the riverbanks. They're bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff. They're scattered by the wind. They'll be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. So this first song, this Psalms chapter 1, it describes for us these two contrasting individuals, each who are intaking different things. One is described as wicked or the ungodly, and the other is described as the godly. And it's simply their intake that determines the category that they fall under. And so I want to take a look at three distinct ways that they lived their life on replay that I think we can learn from this morning. The first one, if you're taking some notes, write this down today, is simply, take my advice. Take my advice. Notice what this first psalm says. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. And then in contrast, later he says, but they delight in the law of the Lord. Who you take advice from is critical. Taking advice from someone is actually allowing them, giving them permission to have direct influence in your life. This is a very conscious, overt way of interacting with other people. So whether it be the wicked or the godly, the psalmist is telling us that the direct influence, the advice that you listen to, will have a direct influence on who you become. And the first psalmist he mentions, we see someone who's taking the advice of the wicked. Now I want you to notice this in this psalm, because there's a progression here. Notice at first this person seems to not be considered wicked or ungodly, yet they're simply finding themselves in a situation where they feel drawn to listen and follow what the wicked are telling them to do. They're just simply listening at this point to the ungodly. It's like the first time that you play that song, right? It may be a little catchy, you kind of like the tune, but it hasn't become on repeat in your mind yet. So they're taking the advice of the wicked. The truth is, though, is this is the very beginnings of a habituated life, because what we listen to will eventually become who we are. And so as they listen to the ungodly advice, they're slowly integrating that into themselves. And at this point, I think it's unconsciously, but they're becoming the very people they never intended to become. And in direct contrast, in verse 2, we see the advice that the godly take. And look what he says about them. They delight in the law of the Lord. So not only are they listening to the word of God, not only are they taking in the advice of God's word, but the psalmist says they're actually delighting in God's word. Notice he says delight, not duty. It's not that they get up every day and they have to read so many chapters of God's word. The godly have got to a point where they actually delight in reading God's word. And I'm saying that this morning because I know sometimes as a new Christian, as a new believer, and you want to read God's word, you want to develop this relationship with God, but at first, it might be confusing. You might not understand what you read. You might feel awkward, like people are having conversations about the Bible and you don't feel like you fit in. You're not sure if you're doing things right. You're trying to start a prayer life where you have a relationship with Jesus. You're not sure if you're saying the right words. It reminds me of when I first started CrossFit. I remember the first couple weeks of CrossFit. I felt totally out of place. I didn't know the movements. I didn't understand necessarily this high-intensity training. I felt awkward. I felt out of place. I was going to quit, but I decided to stick with it. And over time, it became a habit. It became a part of my life. It wasn't a duty. In fact, every day now, just about every single day, one of the things that I look forward to during the day is come 4 o'clock, I'm going to make it to CrossFit. I'm going to get that 1 hour of time that I get to work out. It releases endorphins inside of me. I leave. I'm happy. And I think when it comes to your relationship with God, you can find yourself in a similar progression. At first, it may seem confusing. You're not sure if you're doing things right. Over time, it doesn't become a duty. It actually becomes a delight. You start reading God's word, and you're getting joy from reading the word of God. And this is the advice that the godly takes. They take the advice of God's word. They delight in the law of the Lord. And so what we listen to, the advice that we take, it's very telling to who eventually we will become. So I want to just ask you this question this morning. What advice are you taking? Who are you listening to? Who are you seeking counsel from in your life? The advice of the ungodly will always turn your affections away from God and his word. It will always get you focused on the finite, the temporal things, versus the word of God. When we take that in, when that becomes who we seek advice from, it always leads to this eternal end. It leads us ultimately to become more like Christ. And then the psalmist continues. We see this other sort of influence. I think it's a little more sneaky at first because it's a little bit more indirect. Notice what he says. He says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked," and then watch this, "or stand around with sinners." He goes on. He says, versus the godly, they're meditating on God's word day and night. So he's saying here, the wicked find themselves, they're associating with other wicked people. They keep the company of the ungodly. And as they continue to associate with the ungodly, they become more and more like them. If you write notes, write this down. Number 2 is you'll become guilty by association. Guilty by association. So these people are quite literally guilty by association. There's this verdict that is placed on them because of the company that they keep. Remember, it's the voices that you listen to and the people that you hang around that will dictate, that will shape who you become. And notice this progression. At first, they're just listening to the ungodly. They're just taking in their advice. But then eventually, they're standing around with them. They find themselves associating with them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character." So you see this progression. At first, it's just they're taking in their advice. Now it turns into associating with the wicked. So it's not just this one-time scenario. It's not just a one-time thing. Now it's becoming a default. It's becoming a lifestyle. And then in direct contrast, because remember, we see these two different individuals, these contrasts of individuals, one with another throughout the psalm. In direct contrast to the way of the wicked, the author of this psalm tells us what the godly associates with. He says they meditate on the word of God day and night. In other words, they're allowing themselves to constantly be consumed and associated with the word of God. They're literally playing the word of God on that playlist on repeat constantly throughout the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. They are around the word of God. In other words, they're filling their time, they're filling their space with godly people, with the word of God, with God himself. This is why at Red Chapel, we make a big push towards small groups, because it's important who you're associating with. It's important the people that you're standing around with, that you're hanging out with. You want to be around people, other positive people, that are going in the same trajectory that you are. Because whether you realize it or not, the people that you hang around have an influence on who you become. You got to replay the song that you want to sing. You got to be around the people that you want to be like. And so you become guilty by association. So when I ask you this question this morning, what is your verdict? What is your verdict? What are you guilty of by association? Are you guilty of being godly? Are you guilty of being wicked? Where are you spending your time? Who are you spending your time standing around with? What's consuming your life? Now, I want to throw this disclaimer, because this is not to say that you should stop spending time with unsaved people, your family and friends. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The more that you consume the Word of God, the more you begin to influence people. So when you're in dark areas, you become the light to those people. The more you consume God's Word, you have a positive influence on other people and directly influence them becoming a better person. So I'm not saying don't hang around ungodly people. I'm saying you need to spend the majority of your time around God, His Word, godly people, so that you can be an influence to people that do not know Christ yet. So, finally, we come to this last observation that the psalmist makes. As an individual allows themselves to take the advice of the wicked, and they associate with the ungodly, they literally find themselves being one of the wicked. Remember, I said there's this progression that's taking place that the psalmist is explaining about these two individuals. So, he says, "Oh, the joys of those," let's read it again, "who do not follow the advice of the wicked, they don't stand with sinners," and then watch this, "or that join with the mockers." And in contrast, to contrast to people that join with the mockers, he says, the godly people are people that are like trees that are planted along the riverbank. They're bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and everything they do, they prosper. They prosper. So I tell you, it's important what advice you take. It's important your association. You're guilty by association. Number three is sometimes you need to adjust. You ready for this one? You need to adjust your attitude. You need to adjust. I want to read you a different version of that same exact, of the Bible, of that same exact scripture. And watch how the author writes this. He says, "Blessed is the man," watch this progression, "who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners." Then he says, "nor sits in the seat of the scoffer." So now, not only are they just kind of like mingling around the advice of the wicked, not only do they find themselves in association with it, but now we see this progression where they are sitting in the seat of the scoffer. In other words, they've settled themselves in. And they've made themselves comfortable. It's become who they are. They've become one of the wicked. They've joined in with the mockers. And I think the imagery here that the psalmist used is so powerful. It's this powerful metaphor that he used. Because first we see them, they're sitting with the mockers. And when you understand, when he uses this terminology that they're sitting, that they're settled here, he's saying that they've disconnected themselves from God. And essentially, they've removed themselves from what we know Christ is the vine. We're the branches, right? And so he's saying they've disconnected themselves from God. And you think about a piece of fruit, because he's contrasting these two individuals. And the godly person, he bears fruit in his season. Everything he does is prosper. The wicked person, he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know what happens when a piece of fruit is disconnected from the branches? What happens? It begins to rot. Exactly. It begins to rot. And that's what he's saying. Think about it. You know what they say about people that have a bad attitude? I know when I was growing up, my mom would say to me, she'd say, "You got a rotten attitude. You got a rotten attitude." And it's true. Think about it. People, slowly, as they disconnect from Christ, they disconnect from God's word, they disconnect from God's people, you know what happens? They start developing a rotten attitude. Think about this piece of fruit. It's disconnected from its source of nutrients from the vine. And when we're disconnected from God, our only true source of nutrient, you know what happens to us? We begin to rot. You know what happens to us? We get rotten attitudes. Listen to how he calls it. He says that you join with the mockers. You sit in the seat of scoffers. Think about people you know that are slowly detaching away from Christ, attaching to the things of the world, the ungodly, the wicked. You know what happens? Their attitude's affected. They have horrible attitudes. They criticize everything, right? But you never notice that? They're like the Monday morning quarterbacks. They're the armchair quarterback. They're perfect. They're always the people that are sitting on the sidelines. And they criticize everything that the coach does and the players do. And they don't know what they're doing. They don't do things right. Meanwhile, nothing in their life is moving except for their mouth. That's the only thing that keeps moving is their mouth. It's like, would you just shut up and do something? Get off the sideline. It's amazing. The people that are doing nothing are always criticizing the people that are doing something. And they do. They have rotten attitudes. This is what I mean. I'm telling you, there's this progression. Replay the song you want to sing. Because if you're constantly filling your mind with advice of the wicked, companionship of the ungodly, you know what's going to happen? It's going to affect who you are. It's going to affect your attitude. Those pieces of fruit, they rot from the inside out. I've watched people as they rot from the inside out. You don't even want to be around these people. They stink, they smell, maybe not physically, but what they're saying, what they're thinking. And this is what happens. So you have to adjust your attitude. And yet, once again, we see this direct contrast to the wicked with the godly. Listen to what the psalmist says about the godly. He said, they're like trees. Watch the imagery here again. It's very similar metaphor. They are like trees that are planted along the riverbank. They're bearing fruit in every season. Everything that they do prospers. Their leaf never withers. You ever meet people like that? Like everything they do prospers. They're always, like in every season, they're bearing fruit. It's because they're connected to the source. Now watch, it's a very similar metaphor here. You got the wicked that have come to a place where they've settled. They are sitting in the seat of the scoffer, right? Versus the godly, very similarly, they also are seated. They're just seated in a different place. It says they are like trees that are planted. They're planted. Remember, you got to replay the song that you want to sing. If you want to change some areas of your life, it's going to take time. It's going to take seasons. It's going to take you staying planted. It don't happen overnight. Just like you don't go from taking the advice of the God or of the wicked overnight to being one of the wicked. You don't go from starting out in this relationship with Christ and wanting your life to have a complete change and you becoming the person you want to be overnight. There's a process. It's called you being planted. Notice he didn't say you were potted. You're planted. You planted. You're allowing roots to grow deep in God's word, amongst God's people. And God's, I watch it. People disconnect. They disconnect from God. They disconnect from God's word. They disconnect from God's people. They disconnect from God's church. They have no roots. And notice what he said about the wicked. They're like chaff. They're just blown every which way. The wind comes. You know people like this. They're just blown with whatever the winds are going, that's the direction that they're headed. Versus the godly, they have planted themselves. They're rooted, and they bear fruit. Everything that they do, it prospers. They understand the value of being rooted in the word of God. And one of the things I find so fascinating about this song is that as I was studying it this week and over last weekend, as I thought, it's like there's a formula here. Really, this song, it's giving us this formula. It's like typing an equation into a calculator. It's almost mathematical in its predictability. If you follow the advice of the wicked, if you stand with sinners, if you join the mockers, you will be like worthless chaff that's scattered by the wind. Not rooted in anything, not growing, simply rotting and drying up. Versus, if you delight in the word of God, if you meditate on it day and night, you're going to be like a tree. You're going to be like a tree that's planted by the waters. You're bearing fruit. You're never withering. You're always prospering. It's like, for me, I don't know, maybe just the way I was thinking this week, it was like you type the numbers in the calculator and you know exactly what you get. You can determine the outcome of your life. You replay over and over. I'm talking about you developing habits, you developing disciplines in your life, and you replay over and over and over again the song you want to sing. You don't have to be surprised by the results of your life. You don't have to be surprised by the outcome of your life. This song is giving us this formula. If you type in the numbers, you know exactly what you're going to get. You get what you input into your life. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Whose advice are you taking? Where are you planted? Where are you seated this morning? Where do your roots go deep? Who are you guilty of by association? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? What are the things that you are constantly filling your mind with? Who are the people that you're constantly surrounding yourself with? Because that's what's going to dictate who you become. You replay the song that you want to sing. So ask yourself this morning, where am I planted? Where am I planting? Where am I putting down roots? Who is it and what is it that I'm getting my source of nutrients for every day? What's fueling me every day? What's shaping who I am becoming? I can tell you, a lot of it has to do with the advice that you listen to and the people that you associate with. I know we all think we're our own person. We make our own decisions. We pave our own way in life. But the truth is, you're a product of your environment. You're a product of the people, the voices that you're listening to, and the people that you hang around. And you have the chance, just like in a calculator, to put in what you want to get out. So I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to pray in a moment. I want you to examine yourself. I want you to be honest with you this morning and just ask yourself some questions like, where am I planted? Where am I planting my life? Where am I seated this morning? Where have I settled in and found myself comfortable today? I know some of you are saying, man, it's so hard to find time, Pastor, to read God's word. So hard to find time to pray and to develop a relationship with God. Trust me, you have time. You have time. I heard a funny saying a lot too long ago. They said, let's spend less time on Facebook and more time with our face in the book. Maybe here's a real practical way that you could change the song that's being replayed over and over and over again. What if you spent as much time in God's word? Because I know you don't have time. You're so busy. Your schedules are so busy. But what if you just took I'll tell you what. What if you took half the time that you spent on social media and you just got into God's word? You took God's advice. You meditated on God's word. Instead of waking up every morning and opening your social media app, what if you opened up the Bible app and you spent a few moments every morning? I'm telling you, your life would look different. You can shape the outcome. You don't have to be surprised with the outcome of your life. If you become very intentional about what is being repeated and replayed over and over and over again in your life. And just like Annie, the song Annie, that I get tired of and annoyed with going, oh, you know what? There's a new song that I can put in my mind. There's a new song that I can put in my heart. That as I play it over and over again, guess what? I wake up and I'm just singing. I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about God's word. I'm thinking about God's people. It totally transforms your outlook on life. It transforms the person you're becoming. Replay the song you want to sing. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that through these songs, these psalms that these men wrote, that we read through like this morning, that we have the opportunity to shape who we become. That our life wouldn't be just left to the wind, whatever direction it would take us, but that we can be intentional, that we can fill our minds, our hearts, our spirits, our souls with your word, with this fresh, life-giving, your words to us, God, through these songs. and that we can shape, we can dictate the outcome of our lives, that we can dictate what our homes look like. We can dictate the environment of our families, the environments of our businesses, the environments of our minds and our hearts, that we can dictate that. The way we feel about every day, the way that we wake up looking forward to the day, our attitudes, God, can be shaped by your word. So I thank you that you've given us in your word. And I just pray today, God, that we each of us would be, number one, we'd be challenged to begin filling ourselves with your word, that we'd meditate on it, that we would delight in it, and that we would be cautious at the same time, that we would protect our intake. We would protect, too, the voices that we listen to, the people that we associate with, so that we can determine our outcome. Like a calculator that we can plug these numbers in, this formula that you've given us, that we can be those godly people that bear fruit in every season, and that everything we do would prosper. So I pray today, God, that we'd be challenged, that we'd be cautionary about the voices we'd listen to and the people that we associate with, and that we would replay the song that we want to sing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.